The other day, Sayadawji promised that he would speak about Satipatthana, and today he's going to do so. He's been speaking about Satipatthana, of course. If one, in a lot of the things one reads, the way, the meaning of Satipatthana is explained in a very superficial way. But in fact, the meaning is very deep. The Buddha's use, not just of the word sati, but of the word Satipatthana, is something that is very deep and profound. And Sayadawji's responsibility is to explain what is said in the texts and what is found in the practice and what we understand as a result of these, the theory and the practice. Or, in other words, he would like the yogis to understand, this is another objective that Sayadawji has, he would like the yogis to understand that the practice that we're doing of observing every arising object is not just something the meditation teachers thought up. It's derived from the text. So he would like to explain this tonight. So the practice, in the practice of Satipatthana, sati is not the only quality that is involved. Here there are many qualities that occur together, and the Buddha used the word anupassana. In the outline, the summary that is at the beginning of the Satipatthana Sutta, the Mahasatipatthana Sutta, the Buddha uses the word anupassi. That means one who observes repeatedly. So in this case, anupassi means we're talking about a person in this. And the thing that the person does is called anupassana. So we change the word, and from anupassi we get anupassana. And that's what the person does. So this word anupassana is made up of anu, the prefix, and that means repeatedly. And passana means seeing, observation, looking. So what anupassana is observing, seeing, knowing many, many times, repeatedly, again and again. So Sayadawji will expand, he will explain this in further detail, and he will explain what qualities make up this anupassana. So we have the word anupassana, observing many times, a repeated observation. How many times do we have to observe? It's impossible to say. How many steps does it take to climb up a mountain? We can't say. What's important is to keep on stepping, to keep on going. So if one wants the highest happiness, then one will need to take many steps. How many times must one observe? Many. So, leaving that aside, the effort that it takes to stop the kilesas of greed, hatred, and delusion, lobha, dosa, and moha, which would otherwise arise if we were not trying to develop sati. This takes a lot of effort, and the notings need to be done repeatedly. the notings need to be connected one after another. Only someone who knows the benefits of the practice of satipatthana and will cherish those benefits enough to make the effort that is needed to observe repeatedly, to develop sati. Now it's been 10 days in this retreat, and when Sierrauji looks at some of the yogis, he can guess that they are not noting. They do not have awareness. When they hear a sound, they turn to look. Well, if one doesn't understand the benefits of the satipatthana practice, one won't cherish them. One won't cherish the practice that can bring them, and therefore, one's practice will be superficial. Sierrauji has mentioned this before, but nevertheless, some yogis are very careless. If one is careless, one's notings will not be continuous. And anupassana, this repeated observation with knowing, won't happen. We will just be wasting our time. 1 second of noting, if there's no continuity, is not much. So, anupassana means to observe the presently arising physical phenomena, kaya, the presently arising feeling, good or bad, neutral, of vedana, the presently arising mind state, the presently arising general objects, kaya, vedana, seta, dhamma. These are the four large fields of observation. And within these, there are objects arising all the time. Anupassana is to observe these with effort, accurate aim, and without a break. And only when we do that will knowledge arise. It's very important to do this. So if one works in a careless way, it's certain that one will not get anywhere. One won't be able to develop special dhamma with careless work. The Buddha himself, at the beginning of the Satipatthana Sutta, spoke about the qualities of Satipatthana and described 7 benefits. And among these, the essential benefit is that this practice is for purification of the mind. Beings without sati are involved in lobha, dosa, and moha, and these make one dirty. So if one can reduce the kilesas with the practice of satipatthana, they become weaker, and wholesome factors of the mind, cleanliness, mental cleanliness, will develop. And these factors will grow, and they will gain the upper hand. When one's noting is continuous, then even if one tries to make one's mind greedy by trying to get it to look at an attractive object, for example, the mind won't go there. Or if it does, it will come right back. Even if one tries to generate hatred in the mind or anger by trying to get it to take in a hateful object, the mind won't go to that, or it will just come right back like a boomerang. So this is the power of satipatthana. Anupassana is repeated observation so that the mind becomes clean. It's working to gain this clean mind. Those who don't have a mind that is clean with anupassana, when they see something that's cause for sadness to arise, they become sad and even cry about it. If one, when one encounters physical suffering, then one becomes mentally unhappy. So this is something to be. This is something frightening that that our minds can be subject to these emotions. The practice can cut off the kilesas. With the forerunner path, Poba Bhaga Mega, we observe the object repeatedly. And this quiets the kilesas. And when we observe enough, when the observation is strong enough, the seeds of the kilesas are cut off. We can cut them off at that moment in time. And to the extent that one can do that, one will be happy. Our body is not something we can rely on. It's going to wind up in the trash heap. So we need to use the practice in order to extract something valuable from this body, this life. We have to try to get gold from it. And this is what the practice does for us. In doing this, extracting gold from the trash, the practice of satipatthana is priceless. Sorry, maybe they won't. So one needs to understand how priceless satipatthana is. And to understand this only takes a few days for those who try to observe every time they sit down, trying to observe the change in posture carefully, putting their attention on the body as it sits down. Every time one stands up from sitting down, when one tries to observe carefully every change in posture, doing things slowly and carefully, putting on one's clothes carefully, feeling the acts of opening or fastening or unfastening buttons, and so on. Starting with urinating and defecating, using the toilet, the wash basin, and so on, we have to pay careful attention. And if we do, then our mind will become clean and amazingly strong. So we'll become free of mental defilements through practicing like this. When the mind is dirty, then our behaviors are coarse. They're not likable. If our minds are clean, then our behavior will become peaceful, refined, gentle, and lovable. If one practices to develop these results, one will automatically become respectful towards the practice. And one will feel shame about kilesas. If they enter the mind, one will feel ashamed of this. That's how refined one's mind will become. One will feel fear regarding the possibility of kilesas arising, and one won't want to do anything that will give them a chance. This is the quality of moral shame and moral dread, hiriyan, otapa. And once they come into the yogi's mind, it only takes a short time to gain a lot. But if there's no hiri and otapa in the mind, the yogi will not work continuously. So Sayadawji urges all the yogis to try to become true yogis by working respectfully, meticulously, that is, with extreme care, and without taking any breaks, continuously. And upasana means repeatedly observing. What is observing? This means looking, but not looking just in an ordinary way. It means looking closely, penetratively. And this observation is explained in terms of four large fields which one observes. And these are kaya, the physical components, vedana, feeling, citta, the mind, and dhamma, the various seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling. So the Buddha taught that there are these four large fields for our observation. And the first of these is kaya. This means a big collection of physical elements. For example, take the rising. In essence, the rising is the air element, vayu dhatu. And lots of tiny particles make up stiffness. So stiffness is lots of tiny particles together. So this quality of being collected in a group is what we mean by kaya. Kaya is a collection of physicality. It's a group of physical elements. And these can't be separated out. They can't be separated from one another. So, for example, when we're observing, there's hardness, coarseness, softness, and then there's also heat and cold, and there's the sense of being connected. So when we observe stiffness, these qualities are also present, but the air element, vayu, is what is prominent, so we feel it as stiffness. But it's actually happening together with hardness, softness, some type of temperature, and also this quality of being connected or in a unit. So these, there's the quality of softness, and then this hardness and softness is patavi dhatu, the earth element, and the quality of being together in a unit, being solid or round, that's due to the water element, apo dhatu, and the quality that something may have of temperature, of being hot or warm or cold, this is due to the element of temperature, tejo dhatu. And then the stiffness, tension that we can feel in the rising is the air element, vayu dhatu. So these four are always together. They can't be separated. And together with these, there's always color. There's always the quality of color, that the physical element that is capable of having color. And there's always smell, whether it's obvious or not. There's always taste of some sort, some type of flavor, and there's always the quality of nutriment or oja. So these eight are always found in any moment of physicality. They're always present in rupa or physicality. But of these eight, the first four that were mentioned, the four great elements, earth, water, fire, and air, are the most obvious. And of these four, The air element, Vayo Dhatu, is the easiest for us to see. So in the rising, there are many units of this air element, and so it's called Kaya. It's a collection of physical elements. And this Kaya is like a large field for our observation. Feelings, or Vedana, are just like this too. They form a large field for our observation, for us to look at. So too, the mind, consciousness, citta, is a large field of observation, and so too the various actions, seeing, hearing, smelling, that are called dhammas. So the Buddha spoke about these four large fields of observation first. And in these, small objects arise due to causes. Among these arising objects, what is physical, or rupa, is more obvious than the mental part, nama. It's said that yata pakatang vipassana biniveso. That means that the observation of vipassana is according to what object is most obvious. That's where we begin our practice. In the moment of rising, in the moment of falling, the stiffness, tension, vibration, and so on that are the qualities of Vayo Dhatu, the air element, these occur due to causes. They don't occur without a cause. The rising happens because of breathing in. We breathe in and then the abdomen rises. Without breathing in, the abdomen won't rise. There won't be rising. The falling occurs due to breathing out. If one doesn't breathe out, the abdomen doesn't fall. This breathing in and breathing out occurs due to causes also. Breathing in occurs due to the intention to breathe in, which is mental. Breathing out occurs due to the intention to breathe out. So there's the intention to breathe in, the in-breath, the abdomen rises. So the intention to breathe out, the out-breath, and the abdomen falling. It's very obvious that these things occur due to causes. In the rising, there are many, many units of stiffness and tension. And our repeated observation of this is anupassana. How do we observe it? We observe it as kaya. We observe kaya as kaya. We can't observe kaya as vedana, as citta, as vedana feeling, as citta, the mind, or as dhamma, various things. We have to use its name when we observe it. The Buddha was just speaking generally when he used the word kaya. But there are many, many forms of kaya, individual forms. So when we observe the rising in order to know the stiffness and tension that are really there, we use a label, a mental label. We label the rising as rising. When the falling occurs to know the qualities that are there, we use a mental label of falling. According to what, in English, these are the labels that we would use, but we label the objects that we're observing according to what their name is in the language that we use. The yogis need to understand this. When kaya arises, observing that kaya every time as it is kaya nupassana. So when we observe the rising, the rising is kaya, observing the rising is kaya nupassana. If we observe it every time it happens, there are other things that may occur. There's heat or cold, hardness. These are kaya. Observing these every time they arise is kaya nupassana, satipatthana. When we observe the process of standing up from a sitting posture, standing up is kaya, and observing it is kaya nupassana, satipatthana. Small actions that we make too are kaya, and observing them is kaya nupassana, satipatthana. Standing up, the standing body is also kaya, so observing it is kaya nupassana. When one is walking, the steps that are taken, the steps are kaya. The step of each leg stepping is kaya. Observing this is kaya nupassana. Standing is also kaya. Sitting is also kaya. All the changes in posture that are made, the changes between the four basic postures, standing, sitting, lying down, walking. These are all kaya. Observing them is kaya nupassana. Small acts too. What we mean by small actions are opening the eyes, closing the eyes, blinking the eyes. All these things too are kaya. And observing them is kaya nupassana. The Buddha didn't list all possible objects that we can observe. He just said kaya nupassana. He just used that word. Kaya nupassana. He just said kaya nupassana. So this means to observe the arising kaya repeatedly, observing the arising kaya repeatedly as it is kaya nupassana. When we see a line of ants from a distance, it just looks like a stick. We don't even see any movement. We just see something that looks like a stick lying there. If we go closer, we start to see movement on a gross level. And going even closer, we see more clearly. As we come to the closest point, we see that there are individual ants that are moving individually. The rising and falling is like this. We observe them, and it just seems like a big rising, something, a continuum. This is because concept is present in what we see. But when we slowly go closer, the mind becomes closer and closer to the field of observation and to the objects. Then one starts to see it's not just one big rising. There are separate risings, individual risings occurring one after another. Respectful yogis come to see this in detail. When concept disappears, one sees true nature, such as stiffness, or tension. For this, one needs to practice with respect for the practice, taking meticulous care without stopping, without starting and stopping. When kaya arises, one's mind sticks to it every time, and one observes true nature. When the rising arises, one's mind sticks to it, sticks with it, and one will come to see true nature when one observes like this. For repeated observation, that is anupassana, what powers are needed? Sayadawji will talk about this tomorrow. That's all for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.